So I have a lot of questions on foreign policy, so I'm going to put them all together in a couple of podcasts and just cover foreign policy. So let's see, a number of questions about Egypt and about the situation in Egypt, my assessment of Egypt, and so on. So let's start with this. Stephen asks, he says that I guess in a lecture in 2006 claimed that most Egyptians didn't want Sharia law, but now polls since then have shown that they do. And now, of course, we've just had a counter-revolution to the Arab Spring in Egypt, which is a more secular revolution. So what's going on in Egypt? It's a complete mess. So here's my assessment of the situation in Egypt. There is certainly a majority of Egyptians, a significant majority of Egyptians, who are Muslim and religious and who did support the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood won the elections, and the Muslim Brotherhood is a political movement dedicated to imposing Sharia, a softer form of Sharia, they claim, than the more radical element within even Egyptian politics. Is a more radical religious group that would impose it quicker in a more rigorous fashion than the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Muslim Brotherhood are bad enough. So they definitely got a majority, and a significant number of Egyptians support this. But most of them support it out of a general sense of religiosity and ignorance. They don't actually know what it means. I don't know that they actually support what it would actually mean if it was implemented. And indeed, you saw that with a significant percentage of the population rising up against the government of Morsi, the government of the Muslim Brotherhood. And as a consequence, as we know now, the military intervened and has replaced Morsi as president and replaced his government. So there's two forces, the two basically forces within Egyptian society. There's a secular, educated, small minority that tends to be liberal in the old sense, liberal in the sense of freedom. There's a vast majority that is religious and relatively ignorant and uneducated. Within that vast majority, there's again a minority of committed Islamists who want Sharia law no matter what. There's a big chunk of religious people who sway. They don't like Morsi to a large extent because the economy didn't recover under the Muslim Brotherhood. And the economy's been a disaster in Egypt, and there's been a lot of instability, and tourism just collapsed. Tourism is the largest industry in Egypt. So they're willing to shift to the secularists for a while if they think they can bring a better economy. Now, this is the issue. So there's a small secularist who is supported now by the moderate religionists in opposition to the Muslim Brotherhood. As I speak today, there are massive clashes in Cairo. Maybe hundreds of people are dead. It's hard to tell at this point, between the army and the Muslim Brotherhood. Long term, it is the more consistent party that will win. And in this case, I think it is the religion, Sharia, Muslim Brotherhood. I think the Muslim Brotherhood will ultimately come out of this whole conflict in Egypt victorious. How long that takes, I don't know. We could see a period in which the military takes over, as it just has, and stays in power for quite a while. But it is the Islamist elements that are more consistent. There is no question that the Egyptian population is dominantly religious. Even if I, in 2006, said that most of them don't want Sharia law, that has changed, and maybe I was wrong in 2006. I am wrong sometimes. It is hard to believe, but true. I think that over time, particularly given that the secularists do not have a strong foundation on which to stand, they don't have an agenda. They're not pro-individual rights capitalists. They're kind of wishy-washy. We don't want religion, but we don't know what we stand for. They're not very united because they disagree on everything. To the extent that they're associated with the military, they're corrupt. The military is very corrupt in Egypt. It controls much of the economy. So we're not talking about here religionists versus principled defenders of liberty. And as a consequence, the principled side is likely to win in the long run, and that is the religionist. And again, I think this is particularly true given the weakness of the West. I think if the West was principled, I think if the West presented an image of what is possible and what is good and what could happen and where Egypt could move towards, then I think the secularists in Egypt would have a chance. But the West is in decay. The West is in retreat. It's in retreat philosophically. It's in retreat ideologically. It's in retreat economically. And therefore, I think the population of the Middle East is much more vulnerable to the radical Islamists than they would otherwise be. So I think the Arab Spring, as I think I've said in previous podcasts, the Arab Spring was ultimately the spring of Islamism. It was ultimately the rise of Islamism as a popular, democratically elected regime across the Middle East. It fortified the passion, the strength, the backbone of the Islamists, of the Muslim Brotherhood elements throughout the Middle East. You know, they've had this major setback in Egypt with the military. I predict that that is a temporary setback, although it's hard to tell how long temporary is. And, it's going to be interesting. There are no good outcomes in Egypt. The military's corrupt, is not exactly about individual freedom. We saw that with the Mubarak, Sadat, Nasser regimes. And the Muslim Brotherhood's the worst. Because I care about America and because I care about Israel, would prefer the military. And I think it's better for the Egyptian people. But it's not good. It's still a lousy alternative. And this is what the world faces today. A choice between lots of lousy alternatives. And I think to America, having Egypt become dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood is a real risk. It is a disgrace that the Obama administration is siding with the Muslim Brotherhood in the current conflict. It is more of an example of how the Obama administration cares nothing for American interests. I fear to say this, but I believe Bush administration would have done exactly the same. I'll get to why, in a question in a little bit. Why does the West appease Islamism to the extent that it does? We'll talk about that in a little while.